Go ahead and stand up there, Brother Chris. You look like you were spring-loaded. You can stand if you want to, and we'll reverence the reading of God's Word. I appreciate churches that do that. I almost feel out of place sometime anymore. I've gotten so used to doing it over the many years, and go somewhere now that don't do it. I feel like I ought to stand up. You say, why do we do that? Because the Lord did it. He did. Y'all all right tonight? Say amen. Amen. Y'all sound like you're asleep. The book of James, there's a question that's asked in the midst of this little discourse that I will read, and that'll be the title of the message once I get it, and you'll hear it, and then beyond that, we'll make a few comments and open and just try to preach you a little message out of it, and then we'll go to the house. But James chapter number 4, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 12 and read down through the 17th verse. Everybody there, if you are, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say that if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We'll be taking our text verse out of 14 tonight, looking at that question that's found right in the middle of that verse. What is your life? Brother Larry Key, so good to have you back, brother. Would you ask God to bless our scripture? Look, this man's back's hurting. He's been laid up, and here he is standing for the reverence of God's word. Thank you, brother. Go ahead. As you're being seated even now, I won't ask you by show of hand, but I will ask you, and you answer this question in your heart. Are you doing in your life what God Almighty created you and put you on this earth to do? I'm just asking you. The question in the middle of the 14th verse is that, what is your life? And I'm asking you that, what is your purpose? What is your life? Are you doing? This is individual. This is to John Shoemate and to Grant. And to, you go right on back through there. It's to each and every one of us. It's a very personal question. It's a question that I would publicly put before you, but I want you to privately answer that. Not too many people. Some people know in their heart that they were meant to work with children. And maybe they're going through the social service system. And they just know beyond a shadow of a doubt that's why God created them. Maybe they help with adoptions, Brother Tam. Maybe they are supposed to be a teacher. And they know good and well God put them here to work with kids. And that's what their purpose is, and they're fulfilling it. They're working in the church house with kids. They're teaching them in the public school system. And that, there's no doubt in their mind that that's why God put them there. And that's what they're doing. It could be that the man of God that's fulfilling the pulpits of America. God has got his calling on that man's life. And for 36 years, they were faithful to that call. God called them. He found them faithful whenever he saved them. He set them aside and put them into the gospel ministry. And there's no doubt in God's green earth that that right there is where they're supposed to be laboring. Even as you did for 30 plus years at Arbor Grove. And when God said it's time to move, you moved. Bless God, that's the important thing, is to always be listening to God. There are people, Brother John, that give up their lives, and they'll go halfway around the world, or they'll go to the middle of a Nebraska cornfield as the Dow family did, or as other families, and they just know beyond a shadow of a doubt, as the Moore family is, Brother Tam, he's just quit, he's just backing up, quit what he was doing, stepped down from his church and said, God hath put me here at such a time as this to establish a church in northern Utah, and that's what I'm going to go do. They know beyond a doubt in their mind that that's what God's got for them. And I'm preaching that to me. I'm preaching to every one of us. Are we doing what God would have us to do? If we're not, then why not?
What is it that's got me set aside? What is it that's got you set aside? Could it be that you dug yourself a hole, as others of us have, and you've got things now that you've got to get in line? Bless God, pray to God He'll work these things out so that you can step into that divinity and that perfect divine wholeness of God's Word and of His will. You look back through the annals of time, and you're going to find out there were some divine people put in divine places at the exact proper time to get the job done. If you don't believe that, listen to what Brother Chris said. Now, he preached up there at Yellow Hill or wherever he preached it the other day. He said he preached on a man by the name of Noah. Brother Tam, there ain't no doubt in my mind God had this man by the name of Noah at the right time in the right place preaching the right message to the right people. But bless God, they refused to hear that. And because of that, Brother John, 8 souls got on that boat. 8 souls got on there. After 120 years of preaching, 8 souls got on the boat. But brother, you cannot say that God was not holy and God was not just in what He did, because He found grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And that's what He did. He built the boat. He did exactly what it took to preserving of a man, of a nation. You walk it forward. There's no doubt God used Moses. Moses was a picture of deliverance to go down and get the ones that were in bondage in Egypt, even as the man that got them down there into the Egypt this land and protected them while they were there. And that would be Joseph. God had Joseph, a picture in the type of Christ, at that particular place, Brother John. He had him there for the reason of protecting those people that were going to be down there. Put him there beforehand, took him through a pit, through the palace, right through a prison, but he had to go through those things to get where God wanted him to. There ain't no doubt in my mind God had Joseph where Joseph needed to be. And you can walk that thing forward all the way to the cross and say, well, how about him? You better believe that he fulfilled his Father's will. He was obedient to the cross, even the death of the cross, for the saving of humanity. Go beyond the cross. Go to a man by the name of Paul. Do you not believe that Paul was put on this earth the same as John the Baptist, born of Zechariah and of Elizabeth? There's no doubt that he was foreordained, Brother Tam, from Elizabeth's very womb. He was foreordained. He was filled with the Holy Ghost inside of her womb to be the forerunner of this man that would come. The Bible declares that. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness that was prophesied of in the book of Isaiah. He was the man that God put there as to be in the forerunner. God had a purpose for John, and he fulfilled it. And when his mission was over, Brother Tim, what happened? They took off his head. He's over with. Go to be with God. Going back to Paul, there is no doubt in my mind that the Apostle Paul was born out of due time, as he hath said, as one born out of due time, Brother. What was that all about? Because God wanted to bring the light to the Gentiles. How is he going to do that? Except that there be a man that would be ready to step up. And he was schooled under the law. He was a Pharisee. He was under Gamaliel's instruction. He knew, Brother John, the things that, and bless God, when he saw that divine light from heaven and heard that voice and hit the ground, bless God, when he woke up and the spiritual blinders were on him, and he could no longer see fleshly, but bless God, when the scales fell off, Brother Kim, he started seeing spiritually then. The spiritual blinders were removed, and he was told by Ananias, you are going to be a light unto the Gentiles. You're going down there. There's no doubt in my mind that God put Paul in that place at that time to start the church and to get the word out and the doctrine that we hold true today, that we preach off the page of the books of Philippians, in the books of Colossians, in the books of the Ephesians and Corinthians. We take these epistles of Paul, Brother John, and we look at that, and that is the basis for the modern day church. Amen. And God used that man by the name of Saul of Tarsus to get that accomplished. Amen. Yeah, but those were great men. Are we less men? I don't find us to be any different today. If God is no respecter of person, I think we limit ourselves. I think we put our own yoke on. I think we bring on our own burden. The Bible said that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. But sometimes we've heaped so much stuff on ourselves, Ryan. But it's God, we can't do anything because we have brought this stuff on ourselves. I'm telling you the truth tonight. The Bible says our lives are what? But as a vapor. Brother Tan, we've got about 70, plus or minus. You say, well, some of us are going to live to be 80 or 90. Some of you are 80 or 90. Some of you are well above 70. Some of us are still a little bit younger in our 50s, 40s, 30s on down. But the thing is I don't care if you lived 70, whether you've lived 50 or 40.
Do you not feel that just like that, time is gone? Does it not just feel like, Miss Macy, that y'all got engaged? Honestly, how does it feel like it's been, really? A couple months? Jake? I mean, it's been a year. Almost over a year since you asked that young lady to be your bride. Where'd time go? Our lives are but a vapor. If you're ever going to do anything, David Byrd, shouldn't you do it now? 3 weeks ago, a month ago, 2 months ago, would you have ever thought your daddy was just going to check out on some Sunday morning? While you were over here, he's over there. He's praying and he's talking to God. And God says, Brother Talmadge, you're closer to me than you are to there. Let's just come on. And he just takes him up. But we're put here for a reason. I know that in my heart, Brother Steve, at this point in time, I'm supposed to be your pastor. There's no doubt in my mind that this is what God's got for me to do right now. Now, he may change my heart tomorrow. He may move me to another vineyard next week. But bless God, Brother Larry, right now, I'm supposed to be your pastor. And was I put here, Brother Tam, to lick stamps? Was I put here to do that? No, I was not put here to do that. I was put here to spread the gospel and to preach the word of God and to be a little under-shepherd, to keep my eye upon the sheep, but keep one eye on the wolves that will come in and try to get y'all and hurt you and tear you down and destroy this little flock that God hath given me. Amen. That's what I'm here for right now. Amen. You ask me tomorrow, I may not even know, but right now I know. And I'm asking you, are you doing what God would have you do? What is your life? I did this thing last night, and don't ask me why I did it. But as of right now, I did it down to where I started preaching at 8 o'clock. So you know, I'm 15 minutes late, so you can adjust the math on your own. But as of this moment in time, I have lived 51 years, 1 month, and 11 days. I have lived 18,657 days. I have lived 448,427 hours. Or 26,905,620 seconds. 21, 22, 23. What did I do with them 26 million seconds? What did I do with those 51 years? What did I do with those countless of how many hours? I said 448,000 hours. What did I do with them? Did I squander them? Did I use them for evil rather than for good? Did I use them for gain, or did I go ahead and suffer loss with them? My God, we got to ask ourselves these hard questions. Did we use them for prosper? Did we use them for good? Did we use them for glory? Did we bring honor unto his name with them? Or did we bring a shame or approach upon his name with them? What did we do with those 400 plus thousand hours that you have lived? You're right behind me. What did you do with them? What did I do with them? Where did they go? All of a sudden, Brother Tam, the Bible said, and the psalmist teaches us to number our days, O Lord, that our hearts might be inclined unto what? Unto wisdom, that we might know what to do with this time that we've been given. What is your life? What is your life? Were you here to bury people? Were you put here to sell cookies? You did a lot of cookie selling. You used to be the Keebler elf. That's not why God put you here. He did not put you here to be a Keebler or an elf. Tam, I don't believe he put you here to build houses. I hear you're a good home builder and putting roofs on. One of your specialties, doing this, but you're not here to put a roof on. Keep you a warehouse manager, a manager of people, an assistant fire chief. Probably been an assistant fire chief for, 10 years, 20 years. 10 years as the assistant chief, but you weren't here to do that. Paul, you're an IT guy. You weren't put here for IT. We've got to look beyond the why we're here as far as this thing that we're doing every single day. You weren't put here to do whatever it is that you're doing. Although you said, yeah, but preacher, we've got to do these things because the Bible said a man that won't work, neither should he. I'm not saying you don't work. I work. I'm not saying you don't work. Don't you dare get me wrong. Paul was a tent builder. Peter was a fisherman. All these people had different skill sets and trades that they did. But bless God, the greater thing was that they were doing something for God. Amen, Pastor. They were busy for the right things. and we're busy after the right calling. I said this, our lives are as a vapor. They're not just lives as a vapor that they're here and gone, but Brother Larry, we live very visible lives. You don't think that? You let the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church slip up. You let me end up like Brett Kavanaugh on the front page of the paper with somebody from 30 years ago saying that I did something, me having no possible way to discredit that, and the next thing you know, because I'm a public figure as the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, and I have no defense for that. You know what that is? That's nothing more, Brother Tim. It's going to tear my testimony down. And that's the only thing I possess, Brother John, is my testimony. What is my life? I want my life to count for Jesus. That's all that I've got to plead is the blood of Christ. That's what I do. And if Satan wanted to attack me, Brother Tim, that's what he would do. He'd say, make an allegation against him. What do you do then? Brother, you worked your whole life. We live very visible lives, Brother Chris. You say, well, they ought to quit looking at us. No, they should not stop looking at us. They're supposed to look at you. They're supposed to look at me. Why? Because, Brother Chris, the Bible says, let them see your good works. And then what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. They're supposed to see you. They're supposed to see you upright at heart. They're supposed to hear you lifting up your voice like a trumpet. They're supposed to hear you warning the people. They're supposed to see you teaching. They're supposed to see you doing good alms. They're supposed to see you taking up food for mission. They're supposed to see you loading that truck. They're supposed to see you building a handicap ramp. They're supposed to see you handing out Bible tracts. They're supposed to see your name on a sign saying that Brother Larry's running a revival. Or they're supposed to know that you're going down the road somewhere going for God as your life's place. Going to some prison somewhere to tell these juveniles about God. They're supposed, you got a very visible life, brother. It's supposed to be that way. We don't live in the shadows. We don't live to ourselves. We don't die to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. Now listen, even this is a vapor, and even this is visible. God give me this, y'all just take it up with Him. We should live a victorious life. Quit living defeated. Too many times we go around with our head in the sand. I mean, we're down to grub. Do y'all find in the scripture where the Bible said, look down? Lower your eyes. Low down your hands, you feeble people. No. He said, lift up your hands. Lift up thine eyes unto the hills. Where, lift what? Lift them up. Look up, folks. The Bible says we are more. We're not just conquerors, Miss Sterling. The Bible said, Miss May, we are more than conquerors. We live victorious lives, not because we have the victory, but because He does when He defeated death, hell, and the grave on the cross of Calvary. By the time we got victorious life, what is your life? It's a victorious life found only in Christ. Amen. It should be the thing that just pleases Him. I want my life to count for something. I don't know who sings that song, but I want my life to count for Jesus. Is that a youth choir song? You don't know that one either? What's that, Macy? Oh, you sing that one. Guess what? You're singing that at the altar if you can find that one. Not to put you on the spot, but you probably got about 12 minutes. Look what the Bible says here in that passage of Scripture where it goes right into the verse number 16. We boast that we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Bible tells us to quit that. Bible says if it's the Lord's will that we do this or that, amen, then we will do this or that. But if it's not His will. But He put number 16 in there for a very defined reason. I'm afraid that we're too egocentrical. I'm afraid we're so self-centered. We're self-absorbed, we are proud, we are boastful, we are all these things that the Lord knew whenever He told Paul to pin that down right there, or James to pin this down, and when he put in that 16th verse, because look what it says. It says, but now you rejoice in your boastings. He said, go back to 15, he said, For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. To him that knoweth to do good,
and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We ought to do good. But when we do good, Brother John, we should not get that pat on the back and be glorifying ourselves. We should glorify God in that he hath prospered us or give us the health or the strength to do whatever it is. But so many times, like I said, we're self-absorbed. We want the credit for it. There is no credit due any of us for anything. We got what we deserve. You know what we would have gotten. I'm going back to the very beginning of that when I told you to write down, or the title of the book is What Is Your Life? The title of the message is What Is Your Life? Psalm number 90 and verse number 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. When does the Bible tell us to seek the Lord? To remember the Lord? When? Early in life. To remember the Lord. When? In the days of our youth. I'm telling you what, my friends, if you don't get him then, we did this just the other night. I had you raise your hand if you got saved above the age of 60. For those that weren't here, do it again. If you got saved after the age of 60, raise your hand. See that? How about over the age of 55? I think David was one of the only ones. See that? Only one person in a crowd of 150, 175 people got saved over the age of 55? Brother Larry, that's amazing to me. Now, if you got saved under the age of 30, raise your hand. Watch this. Boy, you better be considering him really quickly. Our lives are as a vapor. We live because he lives. Let me ask you this. Cindy, can I tell on you, honey? You said, I think you're going to. Cindy, I don't want to embarrass you or anything. Is it safe to say that you don't have a green thumb? Is it safe to say that you don't have a green thumb? She said, I do not. Now, my mama could raise about anything, except that there was a little boy that lived in the house by the name of, well, he was the second child from the youngest. And sometimes mama's plants would turn a little yellow. I don't know. Science was intriguing to me. And I used to put salt water in some of her plants. I don't know why, but they'd turn yellow and they'd start dying. And mama couldn't ever figure out why these plants were dying, but I was salting them things really good. Salt will kill a plant. But Cindy's don't die because I'm putting salt in them. I don't salt her plants. But let me ask you a question. How many of y'all would water a dead plant? How many of you would walk a dead dog? Would you? I'm asking you, these are questions. Would you walk a dead dog or would you? Chris, would you? Would. Do you wake dead people? Then everything in the sound of my voice tonight's got life in it. We ought to be focusing on that which is alive. Brother, you'd look like a crazy man to go over there and see Mr. Raines or Mr. Sturdivant and say, I want to go back there and talk to them people. I got a word for them. Brother, it's too late. I don't care if you show up with the transplant team and you've got people with the best medicine, you've got the most skilled physician that Baptist Hospital could send up there, and you send him up on a life flight helicopter, and he's got all the instruments and everything, and he's got a donor cadaver heart coming out of a dead man. You just got killed in a car accident. He got this live, this heart that is still pliable and is still able to be used in another man. You crazy to go take that thing to Raines Sturdivant and say, put this in one of them bodies back there. You know why? Because they're dead. They're dead. But folks, we ought to be focusing on that which still got life. What is your life? But you'll be focusing on that. You'll be focusing on Alexia. You'll be focusing on Preston. You ought to be working with that which is workable. You ought to be investing in Nicole. You ought to be calling Andrew. And you ought to be calling your grandbabies. I know you had one with you Sunday. And thank God that you can. You ought to be investing in them. Miss Mary, you ought to get Heather aside once in a while. Just tell her how much God loves her. I mean, I'd mention it to Mandy and Jeremy while you're doing it. I don't care who you are or where you are. Miss God, work with that which God has put within your ability to work with. Don't go working with something that you can't touch. You can't touch a dead dog, a dead plant, or a dead person because there's no help there. But bless God, you got somebody. Avery's looking up to Papa. Get with her and say, let Papa tell you about my Jesus. And get with them, Brother Larry. Get with them inside the prison. Get with them behind the restaurant or behind the places you go. And bless God, just let God deal with them. They may throw their biscuit away. They may spit in your face or call you all kinds of names. But keep doing it. What is your life? I believe your life, aside from my life, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be your pastor. This man right here, I believe, is in his role in this life. I believe that. I believe that. You said, do you believe Macy's supposed to be getting married to Jake? I believe that. I'd be pretty selfish to try to keep her at home, as blessed as I've been for the last 31 years of my marriage. And what a great, I'm telling you, I got two productive kids out of that marriage. I got a wonderful wife. I'd be very selfish to try to keep her to myself. She's got a life. I want to let her live that life. I want her to prosper in that life. I want her to understand the joys of serving the Lord. And the Bible tells us that it wasn't good for man that he should be alone. So what did he do? He gave him a woman. Women were put here to help the men in the ministry, to teach the young women at home, to be chaste keepers of the home, and to do those things what the Bible said. And by God, I don't want to deprive anybody of that. I don't want to deprive her of that. I wouldn't want to deprive Jacob of having the wife that God's got for him. What is your life? What is my life? He said, well, I don't know. Well, I'd start talking to God about it. I say, Lord, what is it? You say, well, what happens whenever our lives are over? Well, I guess you could sit around and do like Mary and Martha and run to Jesus then and say, if you'd been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And then he'd say, your brother's all right. He'll live again. I know that he'll rise in the resurrection. No. He said, I am the resurrection.
Amen.
But wouldn't you like to get to him on this side of the resurrection? Wouldn't you like to get to him on this side of the grave?
Amen.
I want to get to him. I want you to get to him.
Amen.
Brother John, what is your life? And I don't answer that out loud. What is your purpose here?
Amen.
Has he perfected a good work in you? And will he fulfill that? Will he accomplish that he put in his heart, in your heart to do? Or are you going to keep digging you? I'm going to tell on Cindy again. Cindy, I'm telling on the grandma this time. Cindy had the sweetest, most humble grandma by the name of Fanny Cardwell. Put your feet up on your things, honey. I mean, you're getting ready to go for a ride. Put your foot up there, Miss May. We would go over there to Wilkes Senior Villages, and we would get Miss... You got your brake on? Come on, Miss May. Sometimes we would go over there, Brother Tam. And this is where some of us are at. We would go over there, and Cindy said, let's go see Grandma. I say, okay, we'll go up and see Grandma. And we'd go in there, and she'd grab Grandma, and here we go down the... You know what Grandma would do? Sometimes Kippy, Grandma, she had developed dementia or Alzheimer's, one of those latter mind-altering diseases. And you know what would happen, Miss Melissa, if Grandma didn't want to go out? We'd say, come on, Grandma. Grandma, Brother Tam, would take her feet off the pedals and put them down just like this. And she would dig her heels in. And you could not push Grandma. You couldn't, Brother Tam. You're like, Grandma, put your feet back on the pedal. I'm not going outside. Grandma, put your feet up on the pedals. We're going outside. It's a pretty day. It's sunny out there. And the birds are singing. And it's a beautiful day. Let's go outside, Grandma. She put her foot down. And she would not go. And I'm afraid some of us have dug our heels in. And we're saying, I ain't going. I ain't doing that, Lord. You can keep pushing me. But I'm not going to go. You know what we did to Grandma? Watch this, Tam. Grandma got her heels dug in. You know what we did? Come on, Grandma. This is exactly what we did to Grandma. Grandma tried to dig her heels in. You know what we did? Y'all had to do the same thing with your mother. Miss May, honey, keep your feet up there. I'm not going to drag you back. I'm asking you, what is your life? Are you sitting back somewhere with your heels dug in? Are you sitting back somewhere and you have just established your footing and you're singing that old song, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Are you singing that song all the while God said, I want you to move? I got a call the other night, and for those that don't know this, don't be alarmed. It's all good with them. If you're finding it out right now, I'm not going to tell you who it is. A dear couple from the church called me up and started talking and said, Pastor, we feel like we're being led to another church. And I said, okay. I said, is there any problem? Anything I need to know about? No, honestly, there's not. We love everybody. We love you. We love your family. We love the church. We've got so many families in the church we do love, but God's got to work for us somewhere. We know where they told me where they were going. And they had been a member of that church before. And they've worked in that church before. They said, the Lord's just taking us home. Brother, I can't argue with that. No problems. So I'm telling you now so that you can take our name off the nominating committee sheet if we're on there anywhere. We got to follow the Lord. I can't argue with that. Now, if you get mad at me, you get mad at her, and you up and you throw all your chips in the middle of the table, and you throw your marbles, you get your marbles, I'm going home. There's a problem with that. But if you say, Pastor, I have earnestly prayed about this. Man, Sam's prayed about this. Like Brother Bill said the other day when he said, will your church accept us as members? Brother Tim, when y'all called back and said, Preacher, can we come home? Or you said it's good to be home. Whatever the conversation you and I had, I welcome you in that. There is a time and a place for that kind of stuff. And I'm okay with that. That's what I'm saying. What is your life? If God's saying go, go. If God's saying stay, stay. If God's saying anything, you better listen to Him. Don't listen to me. Listen to Him. But I'm afraid sometimes we've just dug Him old heels in. You know what will happen? God can say, okay, I'll just turn you around. Turn you upside down, maybe. Uh-oh. Sorry, Larry. Didn't mean to. You said, turn you upside down. I had to go down to Larry's house and put one of them inversion tables together for him. He's hanging around all the time down there. Upside down. All right, what are you doing, preacher? He said, I'm just hanging around. Brother, you get in that thing. I love it. Anybody want Christmas presents? No. You get in it, and then you pull this thing. You go, whoop. You flip upside down. Man, you hold back, and everything just stretches out. He said he went to the chiropractor. The doctor said he wasn't using it enough. He said, you stay in that thing up to 10, 20 minutes at a time. I'm all for it. Until the blood goes to your head, then you pass out. Then after that, you probably better get back over. I wouldn't advise doing that unless Marlene was home. I'm asking you this with all seriousness. What is your life? Brother Chris, what is your life? Are you doing it?
Yes, sir.
Then do more of it.
I am, Pastor.
Go downstairs and fill your track rack back up. Get you some more Bible. Get you some tracks. Brother Chris, Chris answered. You don't have to answer. But what is your life? What is your life? As we stand, Miss Macy, come. Did you find that song, baby? You did? Wow. You got a microphone? We got a microphone, brother. Who's up there? Oh, you already got one? You got one? I'm using Old Yeller. Y'all listen as she sings. If you need to come, come. But what is your life? Why's God got you here? You said you used a whole lot of people in the Bible. Brother Kenny, did the Bible say that Queen Esther was saved for such a time as this? Sure she was. That story's not about Mordecai. That story's not about Haman. That story's about Queen Esther and how God had her providentially set aside for such a time as this. He had her there for that purpose, for the saving of the Jews, Brother Tam. There's no doubt about that. God had her there. Just as He did Jonah to go to Nineveh. And Jonah didn't go. You know the story. But maybe you're a Jonah. Maybe you're a Joshua. Maybe you're a pastor. Just don't know it yet. Maybe you're a preacher. Maybe you're a teacher or a singer. But what is your life? Go ahead, Miss Macy, as she sings.
Oh, what their lives to count for something, to leave their mark when life is through, but vain pursuit.
Just close your eyes while she sings and listen.
Count for nothing, time will erase whatever we do. there burned a question. What was I placed on earth here for? It truly was to build a kingdom, not of my own, but of the Lord's. I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain.
Don't wait till your plant's dead before you water it. Don't try to walk the dead dog. Don't wake the dead people. Don't be trying to raise Cain. Do it while there's still life. Because I assure you, their lives count for something too, just as yours does. Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus? Aren't you glad that somebody told you about His love? And His unending grace, His indefinite mercy. There was no choir requested tomorrow, so there's no need to assemble in the choir if you're coming tomorrow. The body will lie in state from 12:30 to 1:30. It'll be a closed casket service, but you can still come by and show your respects to the family. The funeral will be then at 2 o'clock here, and you'll be praying for the three girls. They've got Billy had three daughters, and then also Brother Jerry Montoya.